two, three. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe.
Continuing in John, in the next chapter, in chapter 15, at verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from me, from what is mine and make it known to you.
Please keep your Bibles open.
Okay, ready, Malcolm? I'm just going to do the microphone. And... All right. Welcome, everyone. My name's Dennis, and welcome to visitors. We've got a few visitors here. Very welcome. Pentecost is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to spend a couple of weeks speaking and examining the Holy Spirit. So when Pentecost comes, we're coming with full heads and a full heart, and so we can worship deeply. I've made some handout notes. If you're a scribbly type person and like taking notes or thoughts come in your head, there should be one in your handout. When I was a young man, I think it was in my 20s, I went to a church, and there was a preacher there. I don't remember the church, I don't remember the preacher's name, and he's going, "You need the power of the Spirit, brother." He really did talk this way. "You need the power of the Spirit." And he had a vacuum cleaner at the front, and he's going, "You can't do the work of God without plugging into the Spirit." And he, you know, physically plugged the vacuum cleaner in, and it kind of worked. And he was basically saying, unless you're plugged into God, you can't do the work of God. And I thought, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And what he said that was interesting was he said the Holy Spirit was like the electricity that empowered the vacuum cleaner. Now, I was a very young Christian then. I thought, oh, you know, that makes sense. You know, the Holy Spirit's like electricity. And the more I thought about it, the more I think he's absolutely completely wrong. And I'll explain that in a moment. You know, you get lots of things about the Holy Spirit. You get baptism in the Spirit. You get anointing in the Spirit. The Spirit comes down like a dove. The Spirit comes down like a fire. But the real question is, who is the Spirit? And here's the one point I want to make right up front before we open the Bible. There's lots of truths about the Holy Spirit, but there's one that's got to come first. And this is it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a power. There's a power of the Spirit, but the Spirit is not a power. Primarily, the Holy Spirit is a person, actually one of the three persons in the Trinity. Now, what is really interesting, I don't know if you noticed in the Bible reading today, but four times Jesus labelled the Holy Spirit a counsellor. Isn't that interesting? He is our counsellor. So I wanted to ask you a question. In what ways do you think that the Holy Spirit is a counsellor? Go, Kevin. Okay, the Holy Spirit is like a counsellor because he supports and convicts us. Anything else? Joan? The Holy Spirit teaches as a counsellor would. Anyone else? Margaret? The Holy Spirit listens, teaches, supports. Very good. Really interesting, in the Bible passage, the word that Jesus uses for counsellor is a funny word. It can be interpreted as a counsellor, like a therapist who listens and talks and guides, like a helper. But it can also refer to a legal counsellor, like a mediator, that makes someone right or wrong before a judge. Which one is he? Is he the counsellor that walks beside us, or is he the legal mediator? The answer is both. And now, there are four readings about his role as a counsellor. The first one, we're going to read it in a moment, is the fundamental one. Now, listen carefully. The next three say the same things, but at a deeper, deeper level. Let's look at the first one, get the foundations, and then we'll dig deep, because there's more in the Bible lesson today than I can ever teach on, but I think you'll get blessed. So let's get into it. It's John. The first reading I want to look at is John 14, verse 15. You ready? Let it flow over you. See if you pick it up. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counsellor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I won't leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now, verse 16 is the first thing he says. Isn't it interesting, verse 16, it says, the Holy Spirit is another counsellor. Question, if he's the other counsellor, who's the first counsellor? Exactly, Jesus is the first counsellor. It is Jesus who is our first guide. It is Jesus who teaches us how to be right with God and make us right with God. If the Holy Spirit's another counsellor is going to take the role of Jesus, where's Jesus going? Yeah, you know this. You've seen the movie. Very good. You'll notice in verse 16 that the Holy Spirit is sent by the Father at the request of the Son and given to those who love Jesus. How long for? Forever. Permanently. Why would God the Father, at the call of God the Son, give us God the Spirit forever? Keep that at the back of your head. And in verse 17, the Holy Spirit is labelled the Spirit of Truth. And to quote a famous movie, the world can't handle the truth. And so the world will not accept the Spirit. Is that all right? There's the teaching for today. These are the three things you've got to know about the person of the Spirit who is the counsellor. He is a counsellor sent by from the Father at the request of the Son. He is the Spirit that tells the truth. But the world can't handle the truth. And so things will happen. Now, interesting bit number one is in verse 17. It's the last sentence in verse 17 of John 14. Listen to this. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. For the apostles, their only experience of the Holy Spirit was next to them, with them. Who was filled with the Spirit? The Lord Jesus was filled with their Spirit. And their only experience of the Holy Spirit was with them. And Jesus says there's a new experience coming. The Spirit won't be with you, but will be in you. And I love verse 22, a consequence of the Holy Spirit being in the believer in 14:22, solid gold. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Listen to this. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. So when God the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in us, a consequence of that is having the Father and the Son make their home in us. There's a whole sermon in that. Let's get on to the first expansion of this. These are the basic truths. 14:25. Now, we're going to read 14:25. You're going to hear the same words, the same ideas, but a little bit deeper. You ready? 14:25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. You can see from verse 25. That this counselor, this Spirit of Truth, is indeed the Holy Spirit. And all the Christians are going, duh, who else would he be? But you've got to understand, when a Jew hears the Holy Spirit, they hear the Spirit that equipped the prophets of the Old Testament. They hear the Spirit that indwelt King David when he fought against his enemies. They hear about the Spirit that indwelt King Solomon in all wisdom. And Jesus is going, you know, that bloke, he's going inside you. Stick that in your pipe to smoke. The interesting thing in verse 26, the Spirit comes in the name of the Son. That means he is concerned for the reputation of the Son. Therefore, in verse 26, he is concerned about teaching the followers the words of Jesus. Because when the followers of Jesus understand the words of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the reputation of Jesus is made better. The worst time, isn't it? When Christians don't know the words of Jesus, they ruin the reputation of Christ because they say the dumbest things and they do the dumbest things. That makes sense, doesn't it? And notice the world is mentioned again in verse 26. Isn't it interesting that Jesus goes, I'm going to give you a peace, but not the way the world gives it. The world gives dodgy peace. The world is at peace with you when you agree with the world. As soon as you don't agree with the world, it takes its peace away. But when Jesus gives peace, he gives it for? Yes, he doesn't take it back. And notice in verse 27, he says, don't be troubled and don't be afraid. That word afraid actually means don't be a coward. Why is Jesus telling them not to be cowards? We'll come to that. Let's go to the second expansion. You ready? Let's go a little bit deeper again. Same truths, a little bit deeper. Verse chapter 15, verse 16. A little bit deeper, but the same thing. I'll just make sure. I know it's 15 verse 26. I got a bit excited. Here we go. When the Counselor comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And all this I've told you so that you don't go astray. Oh, they're going to put you out of synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they haven't known the Father or me. And I've told you this, so when the time comes, you remember that I warned you. And I didn't tell you this at first because I was with you. The new truth. Before we get into it, verse 26, I love it. It gets confusing, eh? Who's sending the Spirit, the Father or the Son? Yes. The connectivity of God is astonishing. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're sweating at the moment because there's Trinity everywhere. But isn't verse 27 interesting? The Holy Spirit, who teaches and reminds people the words of God, who's he telling? The disciples. Why is the Holy Spirit testifying about Jesus to the disciples? Because he wants the disciples to testify the truth of Jesus to others. And the bad thing is, when they go to tell these great truths about Jesus to others, others will reject them. Because the world can't handle the truth. And it's so bad, you can see it, that the world will kill truth tellers. The world will reject truth tellers. So don't be surprised when you tell the truth in the name of God that people won't like it. Or they'll want to hurt you or shut you up or just give you a quick punch in the face. Is that all right? Let's go to the final one. Chapter 16, verse 5. It's a long one, but it's a beauty. And again, the same ideas, just a little bit deeper. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief, but I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men don't believe in me. In regards to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I've got much more to say to you than I can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth, and he won't speak on his own. He'll only speak what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. and in a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me. There you have it in verse 7. The Holy Spirit is replacing Jesus as their counselor. Done deal. Jesus has done his job. He's going back to the Father, and now the Spirit is sent for the next stage. He is our new counselor. And notice what he's counseling people in. He's convicting people because they've got a few things wrong. People don't know what sin is, they don't know what righteousness is, and they don't know what about judgment. And what's the three things? Number one, they got sin wrong. It's not a sin, the good or the bad things you do. It's the sin not trusting the Son of God. That's what a sin is. That's what it comes down to. They don't know about righteousness because righteousness is living by the Spirit, not by the law. You know, being righteous is not about being right. Being righteous is not about doing right. Being righteous is about being right with God, and the only way you're right with God is when you're connected to Him. I know when I'm right with my wife, Bronwyn, because we're connected. Sometimes within a friendship or a marriage, you don't feel right. Something doesn't feel right, does it? When you've got a kink in the friendship or a kink in the family, but you know you're right when there's connections there. And you know what? It makes sense, doesn't it? The righteous person who's right with God is a Spirit-filled person. Because when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of the Father, you're full of the Son, and your righteous deeds are symptomatic of being right with God. Does that make sense? And the great thing about the Holy Spirit, and about judgment, they don't understand judgment. They think judgment's in the future, and Jesus is going, judgment's already started, buddies. It started on the cross, and I declare Satan guilty. And I declare the world guilty. No wonder no one likes the Spirit's message. You're a sinner because you don't trust Jesus. Oh, by the way, you're not right with God. You're not even right with your neighbours. Oh, by the way, judgment day is coming. Actually, judgment day is now. What are you going to do about it? And in verse 13, he guides us. In what context? As we speak and live the words of Jesus. And did you love that thing? What was the Father's is now mine. What was mine is now yours. Isn't that cool? So the Father's words are Jesus' words. The Father, Jesus' words are our words. It's really cool. That's called testifying. Pow, pow, pow. What's the take-home value? So there it is. There's today's teaching in a nutshell. I'll try and run through it quickly so as not to bore you. The Holy Spirit's our counselor who was sent by the Father and the Son. And he's in us permanently. And he's in us permanently. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament. And he will teach us and remind us of Jesus' words because he wants us to pass those words along. Because the words of Jesus talk about how to get right with God, that judgment day is coming, what sin is. Because God is interested in people because it's a personal God. What's the take-home value? Number one, from the first sentence. If you are a Christian, you ready? God is in you, Father, Son, and Spirit. Therefore, two things. One, you're never alone, ever. Two, you can't get closer to God. You don't need to read that book to get closer to God. You don't need to go to that location to get closer to God. I want to tell my Catholic brothers and sisters, you don't need Mary to get closer to God because God is in you. What more do you want than the Trinity? What mediator could there be? So, because we know that we are close to God, we must be prayerful people because prayer is the exercising of our intimacy. Prayer is talking to the counselor. Prayer is talking to the Father, Son, and Spirit. Don't behave like an orphan if you're not an orphan. You know what I'm saying? So a spiritual person is a prayerful person talking to our counselor as we travel through the world that hates us because we're truth tellers. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is our legal counsel. And he wants us, he demands that we tell the words of Jesus to others. Others need to know that judgment day has already begun. and that God is offering people to make them right with him. He wants other people to be right with him. And so it's our job to talk about righteousness and to demonstrate righteousness. And the last one, I think you need to read, you need to know, you need to memorize your Bible. Can I tell you why? Because the words of the Bible are the written words of the Holy Spirit. If you're a spirit-filled person, you're a Bible reader. Anyone who's spirit-filled and doesn't read their Bible is wrong. Because who wrote the Bible? The Spirit. If you're a spiritual person, you read the words of the Spirit. You not only talk to the counsellor in prayer, you listen to a counsellor. Ever been to a counsellor? I've been to a counsellor. You want to make counselling work for you? Once you've dumped on them, you start listening to them. If you don't listen to your counsellor, you're silly. You will never change. We must listen to our counsellor. So there you have it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is not an it. He is the third person of the Trinity. Our legal counsel, our personal counsellor. It's all very personal for God, isn't it? So this week, I encourage you to live spiritual lives. I'll pray and I'll pass it back to Wendy. Okay. To the musicians. Father God, thank you very much that you send us your Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you give us your body. And Father God and Lord Jesus, we thank you that you send your Spirit. Lord God, make us brave and loving. Give us the ability to talk and to listen and to save souls. Fill us with your power so that we can counsel other people towards your kingdom and not away from it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time.